money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Good morning, all. Reb's ready to talk money. Dave's ready to talk money.
It might not be morning for someone who's just falling asleep and using
it's
our voices.
It's morning for us.
Yeah, it is.
But so, good morning.
It could be good evening for those who are falling asleep.
Yeah, Valley, a good old Ottawa Valley g'day. There we go. So I've already been corrected this morning. So welcome to the show where Reb corrects Dave around all things money. So
I'm not even, never mind. Keep going.
Okay, we'll keep going. Well, I do want to give a good and a big and a hearty shout out to the folks at notmine.ca and Financial Discipleship Canada. Mm-hmm. We have Ray Borgon as a regular guest here on the show. So if you've listened to the show, you've heard Ray's wisdom. If you've only just beginning to come into the show and you haven't heard a show with Ray, go look in the archives, morethanenough.ca and notmine.ca.
We have a lot of shows.
CHRI.ca. All have the archive shows there. Of course, your regular podcasting platform has the shows there. Ray always brings just a really great voice of wisdom. And so I always enjoy the shows where we have Ray on and we have great conversations. Today, Ray's not here.
No.
But we thank the folks at notmine.ca for sponsoring today's show. And Reb and I are just here in the studio all by ourselves.
Yep.
And Reb, you have some questions for me today.
I do.
You've got a scripture.
Yeah. So the cool thing is, I was like, oh, we should do another show where Dave answers your questions, specifically about mortgages. And I went back and I'm like, we did this last year. So exactly last June, 2023. We did a couple shows about Dave answering your questions. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have the same kind of show today. We're going to talk about mortgages specifically. Maybe we'll get to credit scores. We're actually going to talk about one big question that I'm just going to leave as not telling you what that question is. Mm-hmm. That a client of ours brought to us, and I'm just going to pick Dave's brain about it around value and cost. Mm. Anyway, we're going to dig into that. But the reason we are going to read Romans 12 this morning, because we often go to Romans 12 at More Than Enough. It is our key verses.
And you know why that is?
Because you love Romans 12, verse 1 and 2.
Romans 12, 1 and 2 is like one of my life verses. You know, there are verses that you, and I can remember the first time that scripture became alive for me. And I was literally a teenager at a summer camp. And it was one of the verses that we had to memorize.
I do not know this story.
Yeah.
And what happened?
Well, that's the first time it came alive for me. And then I was like, this is just resonates with my heart. The idea, and are you going to read it?
No, you go ahead. Okay. Like, you're passionate about it. Go for it.
From the New International Version, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Verse 2 says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will know what his good, pleasing, and perfect will is. And actually, the NIV says so that you will be able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. And that verse was like, again, we spent time during that week at camp looking at that verse, memorizing that verse. Those were some of the theme verses. And I came away from that going, this is exactly sums up my heart for my whole life. And still, I'm like, that's 40 years ago.
Okay, so here, you know, we recently did a show with Amanda, and I got this revelation about shame in my upbringing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I did not know this story about you.
There you go. So you get to share this moment with us.
We're almost married 33 years in July. So like, wow, this is great to discover.
But you did know that this verse.
Love this verse, but I didn't know that you've never called it your life verse. Mm-hmm. So is that Ray Borg will be very happy because he's always urging us to pick our life verses. Anyway, so I'm just like, yeah, like you guys who are listening, look, you can learn new things about your spouse or your family members 33 years in. Look at that. Go. So, wow. It is very indicative. And it is the verse we talk about at our workshops, our Unleashed workshops. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. We have a thing called limiting beliefs that keep us from advancing. And it's stuff we believe that's probably not true. And our coaching experience is uncovering some of those limiting beliefs so that we can be unleashed in truth. And anyway, that's another story for another time, but we should do a radio show on limiting beliefs. But okay. I'm asking you today, though, some questions. Could you just give us just a bit of a summary? What's been happening in 2024? We are pre-recording this, so I don't even know.
This week is like the week
that the government, the Bank of Canada is releasing their...
And this is just... I would say this is the anticipated time that the Bank of, you know, we have been talking, and of course, you know, the last number of years, the Bank of Canada put the prime lending rate. We've done a little bit of an explanation on that in one of the other podcasts, but I'll just quickly recap. You know, the government of Canada recognized that inflation after COVID and some of the economic effects of that inflation was going to be on the rise. I'm not even going to get into why and all of that stuff, except to say that one of the mechanisms, and I would say the main mechanism that the government of Canada used in the last couple of years to get ahead, control whatever inflation, whatever words you want to use, was the increasing of the overnight lending rate. And so that's happened. We went from basically... a 0% or close to 0% up to a 4.5%. And there's all kinds of percentages. And again, I'm not going to get into the economics, except to know that the Bank of Canada increased the rates 400 times. So, you know, it's quadrupled. And those people that were on variable rates, those people felt that instantaneously. If you were on a fixed rate, you didn't feel it until you get to renewal. And some of you were right at that season where 2018, 2019, those people that got 5-year mortgages then, they're renewing and they might be going from a 3% or a 2.5% interest rate to a 5% interest rate. And again, I'm not going to get into all of the economics of that, except to say that here's what's happened in the last year. The Bank of Canada has not changed the prime lending rate since last June, so almost a year.
Really?
Hasn't changed.
I thought it didn't change in November.
No, didn't change. So that's been consistent. So, you know, again, if you were on a variable rate, you were like, oh, thank you that it's not going any higher. And of course, the question is, when are you going to start reducing it? Because once it goes up, the throttling down as inflation goes down, the throttling of that down will result in the Bank of Canada reducing that interest rate. And that's been talked about since really January. There was maybe we can do that in January. And then nope. And then March, nope. And then April, I think they revisit. I forget what. No. And here we are, June, and we're all hoping and anticipating that the Bank of Canada will start to relax those rates and the rates will come down. So if you're on a variable rate or you're considering that, so that's a good sign. And what impact that has on the real estate market is part of the, I would say, unintended consequences, or maybe intended consequences. I can't speak for the government, but as the interest rate goes up, the real estate market was cooling. And at the beginning, it was all about inflation. And then as inflation stabilized, it was about the real estate market and making sure that the real estate market would cool because the prices had run away over the COVID period. So, you know, looking at all of that, I mean, it's complicated. And you know, we've been, in a sense, a lot of times just observers. There's not a lot you can do
except pay your mortgage.
Pay your mortgage, right?
And try and adjust your
and spending when you plans. Come up to renewal, if you happen to be one of those people that had renewal in the last year and a half, trying to make a decision, do I go with a shorter term fix? Do I go with a longer term fix? Do I go with a variable? Like, what is the best? And you know, we can honestly say nobody will know what the best answer to that question is for another 2.5 years. And after 2.5 years, wherever the mortgage rates are, then you can say, hey, if I took a shorter fixed term, the 3-year fixed term was really popular. If you took that, then in 3 years, you're renewing your mortgage and you're saying, well, let's see if I actually made the right decision.
Right.
And nobody will know until then, right? So that's a little bit the state of affairs. So this week, what happens with the Bank of Canada is really important, because if the rates begin to drop, technically it doesn't affect anything on a technical basis when we're talking about the real estate market. But what it impacts is the psyche of the buyers. There are now thousands of buyers that are sitting on the sidelines in the real estate market going, I want to buy a house. I'm pre-approved to buy a house. I'm literally just not shopping because I don't want to pay 5% or I want to pay whatever the higher interest rate. So I'm waiting until the Bank of Canada indicates that we are through this high inflationary period and prices are going to start coming down. Interest rates are going to start coming down. And that will affect the psyche of the real estate buyer who's going to say, now I'm going to get into the market. The challenge is going to be right now, if that happens, then there's only so many houses on the market. Oh, no. So guess what has the potential to do?
So this spring, like in April, May, what's been happening? March, April maybe is a better.
So, I mean, on the fixed side in terms of interest rates, not a whole lot. We've seen a little bit of a reduction. We've seen a lot of movement.
Are people like, okay, I'm just going to buy now? Like, is it the normal spring rhythm?
Or? Not at all, right? So what's happened, again, there's some psyche and some strategy here. So some people at the beginning, say March, April, said, I'm looking ahead and I think that the real estate market, the prices are going to start increasing because there's going to be so much more competition because there's all this pent up angst, I'll say, with all of those people that are buying, saying, I can't find a house that I can afford at an interest rate that I want to pay, right?
Like, yeah, okay.
So some people have said, I'm going to get in early. I'm going to start looking and going to buy, and I'm going to look for the house that I want to move into, because I think that same house 2 months down the road, July, August, is going to have a lot more competition.
Right.
And I won't be able to.
Well, that's interesting.
So some people have done that.
And bought the house
and found the house and are making the move. And that's great. You know, that's a bit of a strategic move. And then again, others are waiting and saying, okay, we're going to see what happens.
With the June, July. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. So one of the questions that came across our desk, which is related to this in some ways, there's a couple that I don't even know if we'll get to all the questions, but how do you reconcile or make peace was the question with overpaying, what some would consider overpaying for a house? When or will there be a break-even point?
Right.
And how do you do that? So let's just start with the first question. Like, how do you, I'm guessing that there are some people thinking, oh man, I overpaid in COVID for this house and now the interest rate has gone up. And we've read all kinds of stories from across Canada about this. How some people, when you're paying $1,000 or $2,000, then it turns to $4,000 or $6,000. Like you have a big mortgage and it's just becoming too much for you to pay for. There's that, but then how do you make peace with that? Like you feel this, mm-hmm. you know, we talked about Amanda, guilt and shame. Like mm-hmm. you feel like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. Shame says I am terrible because I just made an unwise financial decision. But then I guess it slips back into the limiting beliefs. What are we believing about the purchase? What are we believing about the house? So we had an interesting discussion just at home about this, but what would you say to folks who are maybe grappling with the guilt or the shame or the questions or the hardship about this?
Okay. So just reiterate the question, the original question. Just
how do you reconcile or make peace with overpaying for a house?
So, you know, and this is where I love the Romans 12, 1 and 2 verses, because, you know, the end of that says, don't be conformed into the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so, you know, when we talk about a question like that, right away, my mind goes to the concepts of value versus cost. Right. And so when I talk about cost, there is a comparison component to cost. So we all love to do this, you know, whatever it is, I bought this house, I got a really great deal on it, and this was the cost. And part of that conversation is about feeling. Part of that is me feeling good about that purchase. Right. And I get to compare that cost with my neighbor's house or the neighbor's neighbor's house, right? So I can say, oh, look, that house down the street sold for, you know, $10,000 less than, or $50,000 less than what I bought. I feel bad. Right. Because I could have bought my house for 10, less money. Yeah, right. Or the opposite happens. Right. Hey, the neighbor down the street sold his house and it was $50,000 more. That's great for them. But it's also great for me because I bought my house for $50,000 less. So I feel good. But that's a cost comparison. Right. Now, flipping that to value. And we go, the value proposition here is that I bought a house that suits my family. I bought a house that I fell in love with. I bought it. There's still feeling there, but there isn't a comparison.
Bought a house when the need was greatest for my family to have that house.
I made the decisions that I made based on the information. The difference between a cost and a value is that I say, wow, this is a beautiful house. We loved it. We've moved in. And often the value proposition then, it doesn't have that comparison component that the cost does. I can't look at my neighbor and say, I love my house more than my neighbor. From a value perspective, like that doesn't really fit the value. So when we talk about whatever you paid for your house and you go, well, what value can I get? How can I put the value proposition on the house? That means I love it. I love the backyard. I love the picture at the window. I love the atmosphere in the house. I love the hardwood floors. Again, as you go through, you also, when we talk about value, typically value is related to, I'm going to say a bit of a longer term perspective where you're saying, I'm not just buying a thing. I'm buying the place where we are going to live.
I think the cost, because I'm thinking about Morgan Housel's book, The Psychology of Money.
Right.
When you make an investment like that, you have to think the long term, not the short term. So if we're answering the question, how do you make peace or reconcile what a person thinks they've overpaid, you're saying like...
Who told you you overpaid? That's what right away went to my brain.
Right. Who told you you overpaid?
Right.
Because now you're comparing with your neighbor.
You're comparing about cost.
Right. So when we told our son when we paid for our home 18 years ago, which was $275,000, you know, for 25 acres and a log home that's a really good size, like, oh my goodness, like, that's amazing.
That's what it costs.
Right. And then when he bought a house in last year, and he's like, oh my goodness, like, he paid more for his place in a subdivision, but you can't compare.
So now we're comparing costs, but you can't value.
He's valuing his home as much as we are, and he's at the beginning, we're halfway through. Like, you start down that road, like you say, then you're comparing. So you're saying one of the ways you can make peace is actually understanding the value to you and your family of that purchase.
Right.
And don't do what the Lord actually warns us about, is comparing and looking to our neighbor and envying or making ourselves feel bad. We have to reconcile that internally, that if we feel we've overpaid, you know, I was just going to say,
if you're feeling like you overpaid, time is always the great equalizer.
Right.
Right.
Which goes to the point, which also is saying, Morgan Housel says, in an investment, you're in for the long term. So
especially real estate.
Right. So it's maybe how we have to frame it. Like, there's that belief system again. How should we be thinking about our home purchase?
Right. And so I'll go back to the question at hand and say, you know, again, who told you that you overpaid? Like, that of course is the first question.
Could be your neighbors.
Well, wherever that came from, you know, yes, again, when we look at a cost, you may have paid more than your neighbor. But and I'm just going to use the simple example of, we go through this value versus cost all the time. Because then we would all buy, say, our running shoes for the least amount of money possible.
Right.
And that's a cost decision.
Right.
Whereas we look at, and Reb, we didn't dress the same today.
No.
But I can guarantee you that your outfit cost more than mine.
Yes, it did.
Right. And so you're going, there's something in the value of that mm-hmm. outfit versus my black t-shirt, which, again, has... Like, I'm not thinking about this as value. It's something to cover my body and get out into the world in a, you know, in a
nice, appropriate way.
Fashion. That's right. Right. So, but that's a good, you know, value versus cost.
Right.
Well, I'm not going to pay. And again, I'm not going to pay $100 for an outfit, or you're not going to pay $100 for a t-shirt. I might. Right.
So also in this equation of cost versus value and shifting our thinking about the value over the long term of this mm-hmm. purchase, is also understanding, you know, are you able to make the payments? Like, there's that factor. Like, the idea of having overpaid for a home might actually be about your cash flow. And right. what is, do you use this word affordable? Like, mm-hmm. was it an affordable purchase? Maybe it was when the interest rates were lower, but it's not now. And that's what the pressure is pushing us to, right? So, I mean, that's a different question, because you have to take a serious look then at, well, maybe this is just outside of our cash flow now.
Right. You know, I'll go back, and again, we don't want to extrapolate on the situation based on the question, but if you bought, say, 2 years ago, you may have and likely did buy at a much lower interest rate, you know, 2-3 years ago when the prices of houses were so high, the interest rates were still relatively low.
Right.
That didn't happen until after. So if you bought that house and you say, I overpaid for it, but I still got a really great affordable mortgage payment, then you can say, all I have to do is make sure I'm planning for my renewal so that we address that cash flow.
Right.
And over those 5 years, again, when we talk about cost and value, your house will appreciate.
Yes.
It may not appreciate as much as we would have seen, say, 10 years ago, because we're in a bit of a recovery in the real estate market where the prices went super high and they've kind of leveled out. And again, we're right in this season where, will they spike again or will they just stay consistent? We don't know that quite yet. Right now, we're staying pretty level.
Right.
And again, that could change next week. And that's quite literally, it could change next week.
Okay. All right. So
We only have a few minutes left.
Okay. So I know that you're going to shoot me for this, but someone asked about improving their credit score.
Sure. Now,
you just spoke recently to a small church about this. And what would you say to someone who, you know, credit scores you need, good credit scores you need to make a house purchase? We know this. It's part of the deal.
Yeah. So again, and keeping it relatively short and succinct, and this is a much broader topic than we're going to address in the last few minutes here. But remember that your credit score, as Dave Ramsey says, it's your I love debt score. It really means that your credit score is a reflection of how you've managed debt in the past. So if you've been a terrible debt manager in the past, then there's really three things you need to do to maintain and increase your credit score. Number one, pay it on time every time. So every debt that you have, you pay on time every time. Never miss a payment. That's number one. Number two, get the limit versus the balance. So you've got your limit, say you have a $5,000 credit card, you got a balance of less than 50%, so $2,500. You never want that balance to go above $2,500 and your credit score will get better. Do those two things, your credit score will get better. And then finally, time. That's the last thing is, whatever's happened in the past, you cannot change. It is now on your report for the next 6, 7, 10 years, depending on what it is. It's there. So time is what's going to just, your score will get better over time.
So if you have something from your past 5 or 7 years ago or mm-hmm. 5 years ago, but you are making that effort, I'm going to start paying on time every time. I'm not going to overextend my credit. Mm-hmm. Capacity, like you just said, keep it at 50% of what you can actually get on the mm-hmm. credit card. Will that help, even though there's that mark?
Absolutely.
On there?
Absolutely. Okay. And the further that mark goes into history, the more your credit score, again, because they're now saying, hey, we've got all this new data, and the new data says good, 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 good. And then that becomes less and less of an impact on your credit score.
And of course, that good credit score will help you.
Borrow more money
to buy the house.
Just
I know, more money. I know. I love debt score. I know, but it is part of what we do in Canada.
Yeah.
To get a house, yeah. You have to have a good credit score.
We could talk about that.
Or you have cash.
We could talk about that in another show. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Do you have any more comments? Because we're in the last minute or so of the show. Dave's just talked forever, you know, for the whole show today. So
thanks for listening.
Actually, it's very informative. It's anyway, so if you want to hear more about Dave's answers to questions, you can go back a year mm-hmm. to our June shows, actually, which are still relevant conversation topics today. Mm-hmm. So we thank our clients for these great questions today. And do you want to pray? Do you want me to pray and wrap it up?
Go ahead.
I just want to thank notmine.ca for sponsoring the show again today and for the support they give. So Father, we are just grateful to you. We ask for your wisdom, that we could walk in your wisdom and walk in your ways, and that we would have transformed thinking and bring our thoughts to you so that you can show us the way through. Lord, thank you so much for caring about these details in our lives. In Jesus' name.
Well, thanks for interviewing me, Reb.
All right. Well, Let's Talk Money again next week.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.